Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. This week we go back to 1986 and the most famous era in baseball history. Will Yates tells the story of the Boston Red Sox, Bill Buckner, and the curse of the Bambino.
October the 25th, 1986, Shea Stadium in New York. The Boston Red Sox are 5-3 up in the sixth game of the World Series against the New York Mets. They only need to get one more out to win their first title for 68 years. The trophy, along with a case of champagne, has already been taken to the Boston dressing room in preparation for the presentation ceremony.
It appeared they were finally going to carry through with this mission of 68 years without winning, and we were preparing stories to celebrate the Sox finally breaking through and winning the World Series.
Dan Shaughnessy, sports columnist for the Boston Globe, like everyone around him, assumed the so-called curse of the Bambino was about to be laid to rest. The Red Sox had last won the World Series in 1918. A year later, they sold their star player, Babe Ruth, known as the Bambino, to their arch-rivals, the New York Yankees.
Fans were outraged that the owner of the team, Harry Frazee, had unloaded its best player to New York for cash. At that time, the Red Sox went into a long stretch of futility that became the curse of the Bambino. It's folklore, it's not rational, it's not scientific, but a lot of folks thought the team was coming so close so many times, there must be a reason.
The myth of the curse of the Bambino grew over the years as the Red Sox blew a number of chances to win the World Series. And diehard fans like Paul Comerford developed a fatalistic attitude to their hopes of ever winning another title.
In the spring of 1986, my cousin was getting married, and I was his best man. And the night before the wedding, we were kind of kidding a little bit about wedding vows and what he would say. And we talked about it, and he said, "Till death do us part." And I said, "Or the Red Sox win the World Series." And sure enough, the next day at the wedding, he stated those vows. The Red Sox weren't expected to do anything in 1986. They were a mediocre team from the previous year. So the season goes on, and then they get on the brink of winning the World Series, his very first year of marriage. So the wedding was put to the test right off the bat.
Oh, those Red Sox are so red hot.
Despite a successful season, the Red Sox were still underdogs against the Mets in the World Series. But they went into the sixth match of the seven-match series 3-2 up, meaning victory that night would give them the title.
Red Sox! Get hot! Red Sox! Get hot!
The scores were tied after the first nine innings, so the game went into an extra tenth inning. The Red Sox scored twice in their at-bat, putting them 5-3 up as the Mets came to the plate for what's known as the bottom of the tenth. Paul Comerford wasn't alone in thinking their long wait for World Series glory was about to end.
My brother-in-law, who grew up in near New York, was a Yankee fan first, but certainly changed his allegiance to the Mets. So we made a small wager. So the game got to the 10th inning, and the Red Sox scored two runs in the top of the 10th, took a 5-3 lead, which looked pretty good. But he opened his wallet and took the $5 bill out and handed it to me. And I said, "What are you doing? You know, the game's not over. Put the money away," and things got very ugly fast after that. The Red Sox got the first two batters out in the bottom of the 10th inning, and then there were a series of unfortunate events, for lack of a better word, in terms of base hits and a wild pitch.
The Mets' Mookie Wilson was now at bat. He narrowly missed being hit by that wild pitch from the Red Sox relief pitcher Calvin Schiraldi. But the catcher missed it, allowing the Mets' Kevin Mitchell in for the tying run. Two pitches later, Wilson mishit the ball and it bobbled slowly towards Boston's first base, Bill Buckner. Dan Shaughnessy said it should have been an easy play.
When Mookie Wilson hit the little dribbler toward Buckner, you thought, okay, he's going to catch that and they're going to go into another inning. Instead, the ball slithered between his legs, went into right field, the Mets scored the winning run, and the Sox were losers again.
As the Mets celebrated their remarkable win, Boston fans were experiencing that familiar sinking feeling. They'd again come within an inch of breaking the curse of the Bambino, only to see their hopes dashed by a basic error.
The reaction back in Boston was off the charts. Some people had woken up their children, their infant children, to have them in front of the television set so they could witness this moment. And then they had to put the children back to sleep crying, who knows why, but the adults were crying at that point. People were agitated. They were pouring out of bars and homes and restaurants, going home in tears because they thought the thing was finally going to be over. And this continued it into the next day and, of course, into another more than another decade of futility.
The Red Sox duly lost the deciding seventh game two nights later, despite going into an early three-run lead. The team had made a number of errors throughout the series, but it was Buckner's miss that became the centre of attention. Dan Shaughnessy again.
People tend to deal in broad strokes with memory on these kinds of things, and any kind of a game that ends in the last seconds of the last play, there's numerous, dozens, hundreds of plays which could have affected that. It's the butterfly effect. So you really can't assign a single moment and say that's the reason they lost. And there were a handful, numerous areas you could have gone to and said that's the reason they lost. But the final error became symbolic. That's the one that people, it sticks in their memories.
Despite a successful career, Buckner was fated to be forever remembered for that one catastrophic error. Dan Shaughnessy says his name became a byword for failure.
It was very unfair for Bill Buckner to get stuck with this, as it would be any player, because he was a National League batting champion. He had knocked in 100 runs in 1986. He was a tough, game-ready guy who always played hurt, played hard, and did not deserve this kind of reputation or to have this attached to his name. Unfortunately, it was out of everyone's control. The image was used on book covers, and the video was always rolled out there every time you were trying to demonstrate frustration or the agony of defeat. And Bill got saddled with it. He retired a couple of years later. But some of the folklore is that Bill had to move his family to Idaho to get away from it. He did, in fact, move his family to Idaho. I'm not quite sure the cause and effect of that. I think Bill was probably going to do that anyway. But there had been some incidents in and around Greater Boston, and it was considered difficult for him to stay in the region because of this.
The Red Sox had to wait another 18 years before finally exercising the curse of the Bambino when they beat the New York Yankees in the 2004 World Series. The win lifted a weight off the shoulders of all Boston fans and also Bill Buckner's.
When the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, it basically got everyone off the hook for all prior transgressions of 86 years and enabled people to get on with their lives and stop this nonsense of blaming people for things that didn't happen in a game. Bill, as much as anyone, got some relief in that moment, and it's easier for him to be out and about. He has clearly made his peace with it. Bill will go to autograph signings with Mookie Wilson, and they'll together sign photos of the event for cash. Bill appeared on Larry David's wildly popular Curb Your Enthusiasm as part of a spoof on this moment and the legacy of it years later. And he's gotten along with it quite well now and actually has managed to turn it into a profit for him.
Since 2004, the Red Sox have won the World Series twice, in 2007 and 2013. They've lost their tag of perennial losers. And Dan Shaughnessy says although fans may have now forgiven Bill Buckner's error, they haven't forgotten it.
The Buckner era is probably, it's on the medal stand of anyone's top screw-up moments in baseball history. It's in a top three. In the Red Sox pantheon, I would say it's probably number one, and we've had no shortage of these moments over the years. The Buckner thing in the video age and with the Red Sox story attached to it absolutely has become an iconic moment of failure for all sports and particularly baseball.
That was Dan Shaughnessy ending that edition of Sporting Witness. It was a Whistledown production. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.